Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard from FanRag Sports and NDT Scouting, along with Trevor Sikkema of PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Trevor, we're rolling on with our series that we've been doing, looking at kind of taking some second-year snapshots, looking at guys who were drafted in the 2017 class. And maybe a lot of them, some of them made impacts in the rookie season, but a lot of these guys, you know, it's going to be their opportunity to play a lot of football is going to come in year two. So making sure we give these guys their due diligence and going back and looking at the classes and seeing how everything's panning out moving forward into the 2018 season is a big part of continuing that draft evaluation process that we originally had for these guys.
Yep. And which one are we starting with today?
Today we are starting with the AFC.
We're AFC today because we did NFC last week.
Correct. Yeah, last week we did all the NFC divisions. So if you haven't listened, go back. We did Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday last week. We skipped Wednesday. This week, yeah, we will do all of the AFC teams, and then we'll have a Fan Friday for you as well. But before we do that, Trev, we're always ready to go for the podcast. And guys, you probably remember the days when you were always ready to go, but now that might not be the case all the time. So you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Locked On is the promo code. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Trevor, if I told you that the New England Patriots would lose the AFC East this season, what would be your reaction? If the Patriots would not win the division.
No, I won't believe it until I see it.
I mean, not it's that unlikely, right? Like, if you were going to bet on anything happening in the NFL season,
Patriots winning the division,
it's got to be like the number one. I'm trying to think.
It's not even death taxes New England winning the division. It's New England winning the division, death taxes.
Like what? If Brady would have to get hurt for them not to win the division, like be out for the year. And right. Even then.
Well, that's the only year they haven't, right?
Yes.
In the last. Or did they still win it? No, they didn't.
They didn't. They were 10-6. They made the playoffs, but they didn't win the division, I don't think. I mean, it would be the most, especially this year, right? Like, I don't think any of the other three teams are going to be good at all. Not that they're typically good, but the Bills made the playoffs last year, even though they were
bad. Patriots have won all of them other than the one year that Brady got hurt since 2002.
So it's basically the surest thing.
Since 2002!
Yeah. It's the surest thing you can bet on in an NFL season. Look, what do you even do if you're the Bills, Dolphins, and Jets? Like, do you actually honestly think, oh yeah, we've got Josh Allen now, or Ryan Tannehill's back from injury. Here we go. Like, I don't, you know, like.
Josh Allen comes out, wins the division, goes middle fingers blazing on social media to everybody who has said anything bad about him.
We're about to catch that static if it's
man, true. The receipts are going to burn.
I'm here. That's for crazy.
But I mean, to your point, and, you know, we can talk about this a little bit as we kind of get into these other teams. That's what I kind of brought up and talked about, and, you know, we did a little bit collectively there during this past draft season, is when we're looking at the Dolphins, the Jets, the Bills, what do you do with a draft strategy knowing that the Patriots are there at the top? Like, how do you go about that? And I kept saying that, man, if I am one of these three teams, I know the Bills made the playoffs last year, but it is obviously a little bit of fool's gold, and obviously anytime you turn over a quarterback like that, there's going to be massive change anyways, and you can't exactly think that they're going to make it again. I would be building my entire team strategy around the second that Brady retires, you're there. you are at the top of the division. You are there to pounce. Whether it, that means that you're drafting a quarterback early this year, next year, whatever you're doing with your trench play, your coaching staff, whatever your 3-5 year plan is, I want it revolved around when Brady retires, we are the first team to take the division from.
And that's what it looks like. I mean, the Dolphins seem like they might, maybe they're thinking they can compete now, but for the Bills and the Jets, they're building long term. And I know that's weird for the Bills because they made the playoffs last year, but again, it was one of those weird situations where, and I've said this before.
You want to look at the Dolphins first then?
Yeah, well, I kind of want to look at the Patriots because I have something to throw your way here. But like I said with the Bills, I don't know whether the Bills were actually any better. I mean, I wasn't one of the better Bills teams we've even seen. They just happened to make the playoffs in a fortunate year for them, which ended up being unfortunate for them in the draft because they had to trade up most of their picks to get up to where they normally draft. So kind of backfired a little bit. But looking at the Patriots, here is
winning football games, folks, actually bad.
You know, it's kind of true, though.
If the Bucs didn't win that very last game of the season, that pointless game, they would have been picking, I think, 3 spots higher. So,
yeah, I mean,
not that anybody was taking Vita Vea from them, but.
Yeah. And 3 spots higher, you could debate that, but the Bills would have been picking. I mean, like in a normal year for the Bills, they'd have been picking super high and wouldn't. I mean, remember, they were in the 20s with both their picks, and then they had to trade up, and, you know, so. But the Patriots. What is amazing about their sustained success is that they are actually an average drafting team at best. They get stuff out of some of their guys, but like, let me take you back for a second. 2014, their first round pick is Dom Easley. You can argue about the talent, obviously, of the Florida great, but did he make an impact? No. Jimmy Garoppolo was their second round pick. It's a good pick, but Garoppolo has barely played for New England. He's not really made an impact. So for the Patriots' purposes, they got no impact out of their first 2 round players, essentially. Garoppolo's coming to win a game here or there, I think. But essentially, they've gotten no impact out of those guys. So you get 2 non-impact players with your first 2 round picks. You don't have a 3rd round pick. You go into the 4th round. Brian Stork, not even in the league. He was okay. I think he ended up retiring early. Now, James White, it made an impact for sure. For a 4th round running back, very good pick. Cameron Fleming, John Jalapio, Zach Moore, Jamea Thomas, Jeremy Gallen, like not guys that made an impact. You go to 2015. Malcolm Brown has been a solid run-stuffing defensive tackle. They took him with a 32nd pick. Jordan Richards and Janio Grissom were undraftable talents that they took in the 2nd and 3rd round, and both are terrible. Richards is a special teamer. Trey Flowers was a hit in the 4th round. Shaq Mason was a hit, at least in the run game, in the 4th round. The other 4th round pick, Trey Jackson, not in the league anymore. Took a long snapper in the 5th. Matthew Wells, AJ Derby, Daryl Roberts, Xavier Dixon to finish off the draft. So you got Trey Flowers out of that draft. No impact from your 2nd and 3rd round picks. And a run-stuffing 2-down impact from your 1st round pick. Which is probably not the direction you or I would go with a 1st round pick. But it should be noted it was a 32nd pick in that draft. So, you know, it's a solid draft. It's you know, you look back and you're like, that's a B-minus draft. And then you go to 2016, no 1st round pick. Cyrus Jones is your 2nd round pick. He's made no impact. Joe Tooney is an okay guard and your 3rd round pick. Jacoby Brissett's not with the team anymore. Vincent Valentine, defensive tackle who missed all of last season with an injury. Malcolm Mitchell has been injured the majority of his career. Some guy whose name I can't say. Alandon Roberts. Ted Karras, Devin Lucy, and you know what I mean? Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, there's just not an impact from these classes, and last year was no different, really. Derek Rivers got hurt, missed the entire rookie season. He didn't play at all. Antonio Garcia, same thing. Then he got cut. He's had some health issues. Feel really bad for him. I think the Jets did pick him up to bring him to camp, but it kind of seems unlikely with his health issues. He lost a ton of weight. It just doesn't seem like he's ready to contribute in the NFL. Dietrich Wise was an impact guy, you know, a solid player for a 4th round pick. Connor McDermott's not with the team anymore. Their 6th round pick. That's their draft class from last year. What do New England is dominating without getting impact from their draft class. It's insane.
Brady.
It is. We don't talk about it enough. We talk about how good Brady is, but we don't talk about the context and the situation.
We looked at that Patriots team last year. The one that made it as deep as they did. And it's like, yo, this Patriots team, like, isn't good. Like the Pats just like weren't good, but they have Brady and a couple of other pieces, a couple of other key pieces, a couple on defense. Then obviously Gronkowski and the run game.
And the coaching's great. The coaching's great, and it helps a lot.
Obviously, yeah. But that's the thing is that this team, there's a reason why this has never happened in the NFL before. In a league where the turnover between which teams were successful in previous years going into whatever season it is, the turnover is nearly a coin flip. It's like 0.56% of the wins by certain teams that were established in the previous year that repeat the next year.
Right.
So it's nearly a coin flip in the NFL. Whereas in like the NBA, for example, I'm pretty sure the win percentage, like the repeat win percentage is like 0.82%. So like if you're good in the NBA, you're good in the NBA. Like you can have a dynasty. It's fine. You're going to make it far in the playoffs. You're going to have a chance, all that stuff. Obviously easier to control the game in the NBA, which is why.
Yeah.
But that's why it's so crazy what the Patriots are doing, because like you're saying, it's not like they're drafting like geniuses.
Right.
It's not even like they're bringing in the greatest free agents every year. It's just this anomaly of Brady and Belichick.
Right.
So it's hard. It's hard to think that you're going to ever best the Patriots in this division, looking at how they really haven't hit that many home runs in the draft and in free agency, and yet they just keep doing it. So that's why, man, if I'm any of these other teams, at this point, you're not going to be the Patriots.
Right.
Like, you've already
proven. Trying to make a wild card.
You've already proven since for the last 17 years or whatever it is that you can't beat them. So you're not going to. So you just better plan for
get that wild card, baby. Get that wild card. Well, let's just real quick touch on the Patriots draft class. I mean, Garcia and McDermott are gone. Wise was solid.
I like Derek Rivers a lot.
So did I. I had a first round grade on Derek Rivers. So
yeah, I think it had like what would have been an early second. So
yeah, I think that Rivers is the forgotten man from last year's class. And you know, maybe he was always kind of forgotten. I mean, FCS kid. He was unbelievably productive, had terrific tape, great kid, character, and everything. Tears his ACL right off the bat in camp. So if you look at the Patriots roster, there aren't a lot of impact edge rush players. You know, Flowers is great as a pass rusher on the inside. They'll probably want to keep him there. They're going to ask Rivers to play a good bit, I think. If they're smart, they'll ask him to play a good bit. Everybody rotates in New England, so I'm not saying I expect crazy production, because that's just not how they use guys, which was one of the disappointing things for me to see Rivers go there. But will he be a very good player? If he's fully healthy, I absolutely believe he's going to be an impact player for New England this season. So if you're looking for a return on that class that you haven't gotten yet, Wise and Rivers with Flowers could turn around that pass rush. How about the Buffalo Bills?
Hey, does the NFL do that thing where, like, if you miss your entire rookie season, you could technically win Rookie of the Year the next year?
No.
They don't do that?
No. Were you going to bet on Rivers?
Yeah, maybe.
They don't do the bet.
Because you know the NBA does that?
Yeah, oh yeah. Ben Simmons is going to win it, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I do know they do it. I think it's kind of dumb because it's definitely not the same. I don't know.
You know, yeah, I'm with you.
It's not the same.
Give it to Donovan Mitchell. Sorry.
Yeah.
Locked on NBA podcast.
Yeah. Trey White was arguably one of the top rookies in the league. No, or not arguably. He was one of the top rookies in the league.
What did you
arguably
think of him coming out?
I love Trey White. The early
I was not
grade.
Nearly as big of a fan as most people were.
Yeah, our boy Jonah Tolles, we had him on the pod, and he ripped up Trey White. He didn't like him at all.
I did not see anything special from him. I mean, like, he was fun. Like, I thought he was a good corner, but what did he go, 27 overall? Yeah. He went 27 overall, and, like, I don't know. I did not see a dude at LSU over the last couple of years, because I watched quite a bit of SEC football, that I would have taken 27 overall.
See, I know I loved him. I thought he was really good. So far, so good. We'll see how year two goes. We've seen corners flash.
Yeah, I mean, no, he had the best year that I could have thought he would have last year. So it's, I mean, especially as a rookie,
right? So with him, you really look to continue to kind of do your thing. The big emphasis, I think, in this draft is going to be on what Zay Jones and what Deion Dawkins do, because Zay Jones was pretty terrible as a rookie. 27 catches, 316 yards, 2 touchdowns, despite starting. The whole passing game was bad, though. I mean, but he definitely was not impressive, did not stand out. Had some high profile mistakes.
Weird though, because I mean, like, East Carolina does this thing all the time where they just take one dude and make him the entire focal passing emphasis of like their quick spread offense. And so you've got Zay Jones running a bunch of routes that like really don't even exist just to like get him the ball at East Carolina. And then you immediately go from that kind of a, like, the most extreme of pass happy offenses at East Carolina, like, to an almost like an odd degree. And then you throw him on a Buffalo Bills team, which, like, their passing attack and even their trust in their quarterback at the time with Tyrod Taylor was just so different. And so I don't know. I can't, like, totally blame Zay Jones for really still just acclimating to an NFL game and even an odd one at that, the one that they have at the passing game with the Bills. So I don't want to hold it too hard against him because I did like Zay Jones. Did you like Zay?
Yeah, I did, absolutely. Late second round pick, which looks way too high at this point. Late second round grade. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, having him over Juju is probably going to come back to kill me, but.
Oh, well, for sure.
Yeah.
I would not have picked Zay Jones over Juju, but.
We'll see. We'll see where we're at with him after year two. I mean, the Bills, their pass attack was terrible. I don't know that it'll be much better this year.
Right.
That's he may be a Robert Woods year two, where he thrives.
Judge Jones. It really is. I don't know.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with him. But again, huge year for him. He needs to step up. I mean, you could argue in terms of opportunity, there might not be a bigger one. I mean, he could be the clear-cut number one wide receiver if he steps up. I mean, there's just nobody else here. You know, I mean, Calvin Benjamin, you know, say what you want. I mean, I guess they're saying he's looking a little better in camp. I feel like we hear that every year. But
And that's a thing about it. Like, what do you do with Zay Jones as your number one? You know, like I was totally fine with Zay Jones, like being like two. Even like a two or a three or whatever. But how do you build your game plan around Zay Jones being your number one, knowing what he did in East Carolina to give him success is not sustainable at all in the NFL?
Yeah, it's not all sustainable anyway. There's some things, but yeah.
Well, sure. Not saying like the dude can't have moments, but he doesn't have a trump card, like a wide receiver one.
Right. He doesn't have a trump card. Like he doesn't have one thing where you're like,
right.
He does this super well. And that was my big knock on him coming out and probably.
I like him as an overall receiver, but yeah, if you're not boasting really like an elite trait somewhere, it's hard to fit you in as a wide receiver one, just because, you know, if you're a wide receiver one, they've got to build a passing game plan around you. Mm-hmm. So I just wonder how they do that with Zay Jones.
Right.
Because the way that they did it at East Carolina, you can't do in the NFL. And I mean, you especially can't do in Buffalo, as we've seen over the last couple of years. Now with Josh Allen throwing him the ball. Yeah, it's going to be interesting for Zay Jones.
Yep. And it's a big year for Deion Dawkins because he steps in full time exclusively into that role that Cordy Glenn, that left tackle spot. Last year, he stepped in for Glenn because Glenn got hurt, played pretty well. I think that they're going to give him a lot of help, probably. I had some issues with Dawkins coming out. He went second to last pick in the second round, which is right about where I had him on my board. I think I had him an early third round value, but probably in the 60s on my board.
Where were you with Nathan Peterman?
Fifth round, right around where he got taken.
Okay.
I didn't get the buzz whatsoever. Still don't. Apparently he's QB1 right now there. He's beating out AJ McCarron, they said, so that explains the lack of interest in McCarron as a free agent. There's a good chance Peterman starts the season, I think. Very good chance. So gross, yeah, again, man. You talk about guys that a lot's riding on Peterman. If he steps up and is great, then all of a sudden they've got a good season, but that's not going to happen, so that's why we didn't talk about it.
I remember years ago, Peterman was actually at Tennessee. Yeah, before he transferred over, and I was at a University of Florida game when they were playing in Gainesville, and I can't remember who their starting quarterback was at the time. It couldn't have been Dobbs, or like, did he get hurt?
I can't remember,
but they brought in Peterman, and he was just god awful. And so I know that he had some good moments at Pittsburgh, but I could not really see beyond him remembering how naturally awful he was at Tennessee. And so that has always kind of been in the back of my mind when looking at Nathan Peterman. And when I watched him struggle against the Bills in the first year, I was like, yep, that's the Nathan Peterman that I know. So
was not ideal. And I mean, he was a fifth round pick, so you know, it's fine
that
they took him there. It just would have been insane if they took him in the second round like everybody was talking about leading up to the draft. How about Miami? You had Miami thoughts. They didn't get much out of their first two picks in year one, but they did with Cordarrelle Tankersley and Davon Godchaw. who both were starters by the end of the year.
So, yeah, I thought Miami's draft class on draft weekend, I was a fan of it just because,
same,
you know, Charles Harris obviously needs some development and consistency, but when I watched his tape, because people talked about him possibly going to Tampa Bay, so I watched him a good amount, and I thought the flashes, like the highs, were really there for Harris. You know, he'd had to put the complete game together and still has to do that. Raekwon McMillan I liked, but obviously he got hurt. That sucks. Tankersley I thought was good. There were some people that thought Tankersley was better than Alexander from the year before. So
right.
Wait, he was the year before, right? Immediately before? Wasn't it Tankersley on one side and Mac Alexander on the other? And when people were watching Mac Alexander, like,
oh, you're talking about a Clemson. I thought you meant Miami. Clemson. I was like, who's Alexander? Yes, I think there were people who thought that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and people just kept it. That's actually how Tankersley got on my radar, is when I was looking at Mac Alexander and people were saying, yo, this Tankersley guy on the other side, though, he's really good. And so I was fine with that pick. Gottschalk pick was good. And then Isaiah Ford in the seventh round. Just an interesting draft.
People thought he was going to go in the second.
You did, or?
No. People did, though. I had him late fourth, I believe. So I did think it was a steal, given where they
picked. Yeah, I thought Isaiah Ford was going to go a lot higher, but
I just
not second round.
Anything. Yeah,
not second round. But I like their selections. I really did. So,
well, remember McMillan gets hurt, so he misses the whole year. Harris, I don't think Harris was bad. He was pretty productive in terms of creating pressure at the end of the year. Yes, he was. And remember, this team was kind of deep there. You know, they had Cameron Wake. They have William Hayes. They had Andre Branch. They just signed to a nice contract. I feel like they had somebody else here that I'm forgetting. Obviously, Sue was here. So they had, like, they weren't going to take him off the field and put somebody inside in terms of an inside rusher. But, you know, I'm kind of confused still a little bit, I guess. I mean, Cameron Wake's still here. William Hayes is still here. Andre Branch is still here and getting paid a lot of money to do very little. And then you trade for Robert Quinn, and you just drafted Charles Harris. I mean, you can never have enough good pass rushers. I will say that. And Hayes and Branch can rush inside if you need them to. But I don't know, man.
Harris is currently in the Noah Spence situation.
Like, where does Harris really play? I mean, he's going to play on passing downs. But then where does Robert Quinn play? Because Wake's only going to play on passing downs. And Quinn's not a great run defender either. So if you want Quinn and Wake both off the field on rundowns, who's your DNs? Is it Branch and Hayes? I don't know. Because Harris isn't very good against the run at all, or wasn't in college and wasn't as a rookie, so we'll see if he improves. But there's just kind of that, like, I don't know how these guys all fit. Because ideally, at this point in their careers, Quinn's fine. I mean, Quinn will probably play every down for them, I guess. And then DeWake and Harris rotate? I don't know. I don't know what happens. Hayes may play inside most of the season because they don't have any D tackles. So I'm not sure what's going to happen with Miami. They look like sub-package football. Put Hayes and Branch inside and let Quinn, Wake, and Harris rotate off the edge and line up Harris as like a middle linebacker and blitz him and just send five. That's what they look like. They're starting D tackles or Jordan Phillips, who's been mostly a bust to this point, and Davin Godshaw.
They need to hire Dom Capers so they can run like a 2-6 formation.
The lightest defensive personnel in the league. That's what they're gonna have.
Yeah.
There's big talk about Raekwon McMillan. I don't know if you've heard it or not, but looking pretty good in camp, and then they were saying that he's gonna be wearing the headset. I mean, what is it called? Where they call the defense into him.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait for you to come up with a word,
because
I'm not going to say.
He's wearing the helmet with the audio system in it.
There it is.
Yeah, that's a great explanation.
When I saw Raekwon McMillan, this is just a little combine thing. When I saw him, I was at his podium during the combine, and I'm pretty sure he like checked Snapchat like mid-interview, because he somebody was asking him something, and then he like quick like looked at his phone and just like laughed and smirked or something. And then he just went back to like answering the question. And I was like, wait, what? Did nobody else see that?
This is my guy right here. Prospect.
100%. I was like, this is the dude.
That's exactly what priorities, you would do.
Right? He's checking snap.
That's exactly what you would do if you were at the combine podium. Like, actually, you would probably be like Instagram Live or whatever, your own 100%, interview.
Yeah. No, I'd want people to watch my stream, not the NFL's.
Right.
The brand, you right. know? Right. Gotta grow it.
Try and steal those clicks.
I'd start putting like the dog filter on the people asking the question, you know?
It's actually a funny idea.
I do that with some of the Bucks players when they're at the podium and stuff. That's Snapchat funny. The Bucks.
How about the Jets? They got the rare two safety draft with their first two picks. How to build a Todd Bowles team. Draft DBs.
The just very rare back to back top 40 safeties.
Like, I was fine with the Jamal Adams pick. And
in Marcus a position that just straight up does not get paid.
It's just so weird, man. Like, you got five good safeties floating around in free agency in the end of June. Then you're going to spend your first two picks in the draft with arguably the worst roster in the NFL.
That's the thing that gets me. I love Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
Love Jamal Adams. I also love Marcus May.
Of course you do.
I thought both of those guys were really good football players. But you took them both top 40 when you were picking six overall. It's just
and do you have you like idea. Who are the Jets pass rushers? Oh, that's right. There are in the like it's all like, you know, if you looked at other important positions, who are the Jets pass rushers? Jenkins? Lorenzo Maldine?
Well, you know.
Courtney Upshaw's over here now.
Dude, Bama great.
I mean, like this isn't hard, man. Like, you know, and like last year they had no corners either. Now they actually look like they could have a great secondary, which is all.
This is the forever the draft debate, right? So no matter how you go into the NFL draft, I think the reason why people love talking about it and everything so much is that you can have an argument on either side no matter what. Because at the end of the day, nobody exactly knows. Nobody has a crystal ball. So you can sit here and go, no. The draft is all about, you know, forget being so hard on your needs and things like that. You got to pick the best player there. You got to pick always. You draft about picking best player available. And it's like, okay, that's really great in theory. Now you've got two really great safeties, zero pass rushers, no quarterback.
No linebackers at that point.
So like,
no run game.
Like you can tell yourself that all you want, but at the end of the day, it's not about the absolutes of no. You always take the best player available or no, you always fill the need. You've just got to be smart about it. You want to take the best players that are on the board. Obviously, you can only pick from a pool of players that are in front of you. But the staple of football positions still exist today and have always existed for a reason.
Right. And if
you do not have those, then it doesn't matter how good your safety is or something like that. Like, yep. Unless you truly think that Jamal Adams is going to be the next Ed Reed.
That's what it would have to be. If you passed up a franchise quarterback like Watson... You need your, you know, if that ends up being the case and Watson goes on
like,
to be
or Mahomes. Like, do you have their depth chart up there? Who is their, what was their quarterbacks?
It was Josh McCown. It was Josh McCown and it was Christian Hackenberg, who never even saw the field for them before he was cut, and Bryce Petty. Like, you can't pass up two quarterbacks with those guys.
And they could have picked Patrick Mahomes.
Or Watson.
They could have picked Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
It just, doesn't come on, man.
That's what I mean. It's all about roster building and looking at most important positions. And then, to a degree, you know, you do take best player available. If the drop-off between a player at a position you need and a player at a position that isn't a big a need is huge in terms of talent, sure, then we can talk about it. But, like, we're bringing up names here that are super talented guys that went right
after
that.
There's not wiggle room when you don't have a quarterback.
Right. When your quarterbacks are Josh McCown, Bryce Petty, and Christian Hackenberg, and your pass rushers are Lorenzo Maldine and Jordan Jenkins and David Bass, and your tackles are Brandon Schell and Calvin Beecham.
Like, who went... hold on.
And
yeah.
Brent Kvale, you're taking a tackle, an edge rusher, or a quarterback. It's that simple. Like, it is not more complicated than that. And if by whatever reason the draft is terrible in those positions, take a corner, take a wide out. Don't take a running back.
Yeah, it's always kind of weird when teams that are picking in the top five don't pick a quarterback, a franchise offensive lineman, or a pass rusher.
Now, maybe Sam Darnold ends up saving them and ends up being the great quarterback that they need. They've never cared about edge pass rushers with Bowles.
Yeah, but that still doesn't make their decision last year any less.
It doesn't.
They just happened to luck out.
You're right. Correct. So maybe, and Jamal Adams is probably going to be a really good, really impactful player there. And Marcus May is going to be solid, I'm sure. I mean, he was solid as a rookie. You know, maybe those guys don't want to be bust. It's still a dumb way to build your team.
Right, right.
And then they take two wide receivers that are, you know, Ardarius Stewart, super raw at 79 overall, and Chad Hansen.
You said 79 overall. I thought you were talking about his MAD rating. And I was like, wow, you knew that off the top of your head. Okay.
79th overall.
And they got Ardarius Stewart. I mean, he's a 79 overall. Maybe we should start doing that. Just like identify people by their Madden ranking so people get an understanding. I do. Yeah. I used to be really, really good at Madden. Like, I used to play in Madden tournaments back when it was like PS2 and stuff.
Hashtag nerd.
Well, now I just get smoked by everybody because they know how to exploit the game better than I do. So,
I mean, obviously every year is going to be a huge year for Jamal Adams and Marcus May.
For Madden, yeah, I agree.
But Ardarius Stewart and Chad Hansen, they might be in contention right now for a roster spot. I mean, Anun was going to make this roster. Well, Robbie Anderson, we think, he's their best wide receiver on the team, so we'll see what happens with his off-the-field stuff. It's getting a little ridiculous, but he's here. Jermaine Kearse is here. Those three are locks probably to make the roster at least. Then you've got a lot of contention. Terrell Pryor's here. Devin Smith, remember Devin Smith? You thought he was dead. 2015 second-round pick. He's still hanging around, man. He's the Kevin
White. It's like Ohio State Devin Smith, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That guy. Okay. Fast, speedy Devin Smith. Still hasn't stayed healthy. By the way,
I'm forever Evan Spencer Hive.
Oh, same.
From that Ohio State.
I think
we've
talked about that, yeah. Loved him.
Evan
thought
Spencer
he was the day three steal.
Bro, yeah. He was in Bucks camp.
Yeah, you said this on the pod like a couple weeks ago. He made like a couple great catches.
I was just like giddy. I was like, Evan Spencer Hive, let's go. And then they cut him.
Yeah. I don't know what. He could block too, man. He could do a lot of the dirty work.
His highlights at OSU were awesome.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
They just gotta reunite the boys.
Then everybody will be fine.
They gotta put Evan Spencer and Devin Smith with Cardale Jones out in Los Angeles.
Or send Cardale to the Saints to take over for Drew Brees.
Wow.
And then you have those two and Thomas
I'm about it.
I'm here for that.
And then they're with Michael Thomas. Wow.
Coincidentally, Smith and Spencer would both actually fit the Saints system really well, I think. Well, Smith definitely would. So, anyway, Smith can't stay healthy. He and Pryor are here. Ardarius Stewart's here. Chad Hansen's here. All those guys competing for like wide receiver four probably. Maybe they could crack in if Anderson gets – oh, Anderson's probably going to get suspended. So maybe they crack that top three then. Sherrone Peake's still here, who a lot of people had in the second round, and he went in the seventh. Andre Roberts, longtime veteran, has been hanging around in the league. Lucky Whitehead's here. The Lucky Whitehead. This is quite a wide receiver. Remember Trey McBride? People freaking love Trey McBride in that class.
Do you remember when Trey McBride changed his Twitter name to the number he got picked overall?
No.
What did Trey McBride get picked? He got picked
like super late. Like a couple picks.
Was he in this draft?
No. He was like two drafts ago, I think.
Oh, okay.
He got picked.
He changed his Twitter name to the number.
245 of the 2015 draft.
Yeah, yeah. So like he changed his Twitter name to like 245 or something, and people were like, he's motivated.
Yep.
Dude. Draft him in fantasy. I mean, I love Trey McBride too.
The Jets wide receiver group is low key fun. They also have Charles Johnson. Remember him, the Panthers guy? Everybody would get so excited about him every year in Carolina. All the fantasy people. You probably don't even remember.
I mean, I, for one, could never.
I mean, it was. And this Jonah Trinneman kid, this number 9 that they have.
It's the first time I've heard his name.
He's like pint size, but the BYU guys all talk him up as like this super hard worker or whatever.
Who's the guy from this year who was super small? Oh, Kiki.
Kiki Kute.
Somebody's trying to hype you up on on him, and you were just like, yeah, he can fit in my pocket or something.
Yeah,
like,
that's reality. But anyway, this Trinneman guy ran like a 4.3. So, like,
wow, must mean he's good at football.
So anyway, low-key fun wide receiver group to watch in the preseason because there's a ton of competition. There's only going to be like five or six spots. So should be enjoyable. Also, got to figure out what happens with Robbie Anderson because he was a big.
So there
hit for
you go.
Me.
Nobody's taking out the Patriots.
Yeah, nobody's taking out
the
Patriots.
That's what we learned here.
That's basically yep. You already knew what we were going to say when we said it.
Don't draft back-to-back safeties, even though they're good players. Mm-hmm. When you don't have a quarterback and a pass rusher, you got to have a plan for your other pass rushers.
Don't make the playoffs like the Bills
and
did.
And don't make Zay Jones your wide receiver one. There we go.
There it is, Locked On NFL Draft Podcast, always instilling knowledge. Tomorrow we do the AFC South, and then we roll through the rest of the AFC throughout the week. Until then, keep it locked right here, Locked On NFL Draft.